Deep Dirty Truth, written by Steph Broadrib and read by Jennifer Woodward.
In memory of my wonderful dad, Jim Broadrib, I miss you every day. With love, always. Chapter 1.
I never saw it coming. Got totally blindsided. That's the God's honest truth. See, we've gotten ourselves into a routine of sorts. Me, JT, and Dakota. Living all together in my two-bed apartment at the Clearwater Village Complex, playing our version of house. It's still a little awkward, with each of us taking time to find our rhythm in the shared space of each other's lives. But, you know, all that domestic stuff? It's starting to feel real good. Kinda natural. I should have known something bad was lurking around the corner. And some kind of evil was about to storm in and mess it all up. Because that's what happens when you've a dirty secret in your past and a price on your head from old man Bonquez, the head of the Miami mob crime family, because of something he's discovered you did 10 years back, someone you killed, a lying, cheating, murdering mobster. Thomas Tommy Ford. My wife-beaten son-of-a-bitch husband. First, they thought JT was responsible. Nearly had him killed a couple of months back. Multiple stab wounds, busted ribs, punctured lung, and a heart attack. But he's strong, a fighter, and he's convalescing well. But they wouldn't let it go. Word was they'd got new information and were now gunning hard for me. Raising the bounty, getting every low-life bottom-feeding asshole to think they should chance their luck. As it was, they waited until September 19th to make their move. The day started with a shared breakfast of bagels and cream cheese, followed by me taking Dakota to school and leaving JT to do the dishes before his physical therapy appointment. It seemed like a regular day, just like the day before and the day before that. But the schedule got changed up. Our rhythm violently disrupted. And by 8:29 that morning, our world was shot to shit.
Chapter 2. Wednesday, September 19th, 8:24.
It's mad busy outside the school, and I can't squeeze the Jeep into the drop-off area, so I continue along the street a ways before finding a spot that's clear. I glance in the rearview mirror at Dakota as I shove the gear into park. She's fiddling with her cell phone, brow creased and front teeth biting her lower lip in concentration, playing whatever game is the latest craze. Come on, honey. You don't want to be late. She nods, but doesn't look up. Jumping out, I run around to her side and open the door. She puts the cell into her bag and I gesture for her to get out. She's got a coy expression on her that usually means she's revving up to ask something. She takes her time unfastening her belt and gets her bags together real slow, clears her throat.
So JT said it would be okay, Mama, and you know how much I love the Tampa Bay Rays.
Her love of the Tampa Bay Rays is new. It started the moment JT said they were his favorite local sports team, second only to the Yankees. I lift her science project, a papier-mâché model of the planets in the solar system, out of the trunk. Sweetie, hurry! She dangles her legs out of the Jeep. Her knee socks are scrunched around her ankles. Her shoes are new, but the toe of the right one is already scuffed.
So can I?
They've been talking about it the last 3 weeks. JT wants to take her to a ball game at Tropicana Field, and she's keen to go. I want them to have some father-daughter time, even if we haven't yet told her that JT is her father. But I'm worried the trip is too soon. Not for their relationship, that's doing just fine, but for JT's health.